Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we had negotiated this with the Harris and Trump campaigns for 6 months. We had Kamala Harris and Donald Trump scheduled in studio for a debate at 105. But then Chip said, hey, I need to go at 105. So we had to cancel. We showed our loyalty. We either go to the presidential election or Chip Scoggins. And we went Chip Scoggins. You are in your car. Are you off to a story? Is it a personal matter? Can you share? Is everything okay?
Football across Minnesota never sleeps.
Does not sleep.
Sometimes you get called to an impromptu interview that you can't miss.
Yep.
So I appreciate you.
No. No worries at all.
With the two presidential hopefuls. And put me ahead of them, so I apologize.
No, don't apologize at all. We're just kidding. I believe it's in The Athletic where the headline was "The Full Sam Darnold Experience." and they nailed it because if I just say, Chipper, 28-34, 3 touchdowns, 290 yards, and you win the game, you say, that's really good quarterbacking. Then you watch a couple of the interceptions, you watch a couple of the decisions, and you think, okay, when it's December, January, and you're playing the better teams, or you're now in the playoffs, the better teams, can you trust him? And he has exceeded expectations. Those are good numbers. But, man, there are two or three plays every game where it is just inexplicable. That first interception, Colts player is right in front of him before you get to, I forget, was that Addison? Or I forget which receiver.
Hockenson,
you're right. And Darnold has a clear view. You know, the second reception, it looked like the cornerback made a nice play and jumped back into Jefferson's lap. But that first one, you're like, what are you doing? So how do you balance this out?
That is, I mean, it's easier to, I don't say dismiss it, but rationalize it in a win, but you're not going to be facing Joe Flacco in the playoffs.
No, you're not.
You're going to face, and we can get to him and whatever Colts are doing. I have no idea what they're doing. But that's what this comes down to, Chad, is can he play a clean game against a great team in the playoffs? And remember, when he came in here, what was his reputation? Turnovers.
Yep.
You look at his turnovers throughout his career, that was the thing that really has brought him down. And, you know, the hope was that with better coaching, KO's offense, better talent around him, that they would be able to mitigate those. And I think for the most part they have. I mean, there's been, you know, occasional throws here or there where you're like, yeah, that was, you know, that looked like the Darnold of old. But you can't have against better teams than what they saw last night. You can't throw an interception in the end zone and cost your team points and just continue to get away with that with wins. And you're right. He was I thought he was great for 90% of the game, 95% of the game, but just those mistakes. And I don't even really put the fumble so much on him. Yeah, he fumbled, but he got clotheslined.
That's exactly right.
You know, I don't know, but he got clotheslined. But the first interception was just a if the first guy didn't intercept, the second guy was going to intercept it. So,
if not, I was going to drive down the interception. I mean, it was like hanging in the air. Let's just briefly talk about the fumble situation. First, I watch it, and I think, oh, God, Bradbury, you got destroyed. Then he did step on Ingram's foot. Ingram is very good at putting his feet in the wrong spot. They put a penalty down, and you're like, okay. He got – you nailed it. Clothesline. That was WWE right there. And then when our guy Seifert talks to the head official after the game as the pool report. He said, well, we were looking face masks, and we didn't see that. And when Kevin asked him, did you see this part? No, we didn't see it. How could you not see it? I mean, jeez.
Yeah. Much like the guy didn't see the face mask the week before.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting, Chad. And, something we should probably drill down on more. O'Connell raised this. He was asked about it in the post game, and he raised this. He said, I got to continue to – basically, I'm paraphrasing. I wish I had the exact quote, but I got to figure out why our guy is not getting that call. And I think what he was saying was basically a lot of other quarterbacks are going to get – that's going to be unnecessary roughness for a lot of quarterbacks, right? When you hit a quarterback in the head like that,
yep,
you're going to get it. And I think he's very frustrated with that one on top of the face mask and not getting those. And like, now, wait a second. What's the standard here? And so – and he's right. Both of them should have been a penalty, and that clearly should have been unnecessary. Because if you hit quarterback, Josh Allen,
Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, that's a penalty.
Yeah, they're getting a call, and you could say, well, they've earned it. They're stars, and I get it. But I think that position should get the benefit of the doubt on those. I mean, that's if you play quarterback, if someone hits you in the head and tackles you like that. That's a penalty. So, but you could tell O'Connell was frustrated by that one, and on top of compounded what happened in Los Angeles last Thursday.
Yeah, that was Grover Stewart. As an aside, we need more Grovers in the world. I mean, Grover's such a great name. Just buttoning up, Darnold. I think we're just going to have to accept, as observers, media types, and so is O'Connell at some point, he's not going to play a clean game on a regular basis. That he does not have that in him. And by the way, Mahomes doesn't play a perfect game. Neither does Lamar. Brady didn't. I just think it's a part of who he is that he's got a gun on him, man, and he can fit it in small spaces, but he is going to give you two or three plays that just make no sense. And before, with these other teams, there's maybe five or six. So maybe O'Connell deserves it. It was a reminder again last night that you got Aaron Jones, Cam Akers looked better. Ty Chandler should have been watching on the couch with me. You add Hockenson. Addison's catch was scintillating. The throw was hellacious too. And then the other guy's just the best wide receiver in the game. They are filled with weapons out there. When they all are healthy, man, and by the way, Naylor is out there. They do match up with almost every team out there at the skill position. And so if Darnold just stays within himself, they should score a bunch of points.
Well, that's it. You said, he's not going to play a clean game. He's going to have these instances where, he makes a bad throw. If there's just more of the positives that outweigh those dramatic ones, and that you don't, when you're costing your team points by throwing them in the end zone, those are the killer ones. But well, I guess not killer because they still won the game. But when you're facing we saw last night though what this offense can be, because I think we talked about last week, Chad, right? Jordan Addison is too talented of a player to be invisible. Right? I mean, didn't you feel it? It was intentional last night. Them putting the ball in his hand.
100%.
From the very first play, it was intentional. Hey, we're getting him involved. And they did it, and you're rewarded for it. And now you add Hockenson to it. This offense should be a top five scoring offense with everybody they have. They just should. I mean, they've been there all year.
If the quarterback's good enough.
And he's shown that he can be.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the throw. Like, the deep ball to Jefferson, that was beautiful. The
throw
to Addison, that was beautiful. Yep. So if you can just lessen or mitigate those Darnold moments where he we all hold our head and say, where's he throwing the ball? I think this offense is going to be in a really good place.
One last comment before we take the break. J.J. McCarthy looks like he's 11 on the sidelines. When they showed him, I was like, I cannot believe how young he looks right now. Is there some Benjamin Button situation happening where he's getting younger in front of our eyes? My God, does he look younger? He looks like he should be the ball boy out there. He's going to be the quarterback next year. All right, let's talk Flacco. Let's talk the defense. Let's get to a little Gopher football, and let's get to I'd like to be listening to Alex Rodriguez, Mark Lohr, and Glenn Taylor right now, just blocks down the road. But I don't think they're giving us a feed. Friend Chip Scoggins is with us. It's 17 past 1 on CCO.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got Chip Scoggins with us. It's 21 past 1. I get it that Joe Flacco won a bowl, and then what a nice renaissance for him last year with the Cleveland Browns with Stefanski. But I saw enough of those games, and I saw some of this year, and I thought, if the Vikings just rush him, Chip, he cannot do it anymore. He just he never was mobile to begin with, but, man, you see it a lot with quarterbacks when they get to 37, 38, 39. They decide, I don't want to be hit anymore. I just don't want to be hit. And when the pocket was clean, man, it's a good-looking throw. It really is. But I just thought before the game, I just heard too many people this week and read stuff like, I thought, is Brady coming back? Is Peyton Manning coming back? It's Joe Bleepin' Flacco. And it was enough pressure that was disruptive. You know, did they make some, did he make some throws? Yes. But I think then it's worth highlighting Grenard. I don't know if we're talking enough about Grenard. 48 pressures now, most in the league. You know, it's not like I'm watching Grenard every play, but the smart people you hear talk about it or read, they say, you know, he's a guy he can defend the run too. You know, he primarily rushes, but if he has to go back in it, I mean, Danielle Hunter is a great player, but to use that money the way they did and get Grenard and get Van Ginkle, I've added an R for no reason. Yeah. That's a great move by your general manager.
You sound like your dad there.
Yeah, exactly.
North.
Exactly.
I thought the pressure picked up definitely in the second half, Granada started getting when it was 14-10, Chad, and the Colts had the ball, and it was 3rd and 4. And I think they were for a 4th down, but he had his running back. It wasn't.
It was number 27. I forget who. Yeah, exactly. Wide open. Just check down.
I don't know if they put it on TV. I mean, there wasn't a guy 15 yards near him, and he just didn't see him or I don't know what. But if you're the Colts or their fans, aren't you saying, what exactly is the plan here? Like, what are we doing? Like, you bench a guy that you drafted after 10 games for that, you know, for a guy that's a statue. But I thought the pressure, even if you're not getting sacks, you can be effective. And I think Grenard, even though he's getting sacks, I think he's always around the ball and always disrupting the quarterback and speeding them up. And I think that's contributed to some of their turnovers, some of their interceptions. I just think they get quarterbacks sped up. And so Grenard's been fantastic. Van Ginkle's been fantastic. I still think they need to get Cashman back quickly because that middle field, teams are starting to expose him a little bit over the middle of the field.
Dallas Turner played 26 snaps yesterday, and you noticed him.
You could see his speed. He just has to get familiar, and he just has to get more understanding of it. But you can see his speed and athleticism off the edge. I think he's going to be a really good player for him in time. So the two talkers last week was, where's Jordan Addison, and why is Dallas Turner not getting snaps? And at least for one game, both those things got answered last night.
So I consume pretty much all of the Gopher football game. And as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, in most of the Fleck years, you have a loss where you think they should figure out a way to win this game on the road because the team's not that good, but they don't. And I was thinking, this looks like one of those games, you know, where Bielema always beats them. They're bouncing back after getting destroyed by Oregon. I mean, the quarterback who you basically declared is the greatest quarterback ever is kind of lukewarm.
Okay. He's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? When they had to make plays on the road, on the offensive side, defensive side, they did it. And that showed me something a little different about this team. That, yeah, you can win that really impressive game against USC and you can blow out Maryland, but sometimes you got to go on the road against a physical team, not be playing with your best stuff, and find a way to win it, and they did.
Well, especially after the gamble with the fake punt.
Yeah.
And you turn that into Illinois
touchdown.
Has the lead. Now all of a sudden, you could be thinking, uh-oh, here we go. But the quarterback has some clutch in him, made the big-time throw to Daniel Jackson down the sideline. That was a terrific throw.
Great throw.
And I just – if you watch that game, I'm going to write about it later this week, I have such an admiration and appreciation for Darius Taylor as a runner.
Yeah.
I just think he – and I've seen, for the last 20-something years, I've seen, the great ones, Maroney Barber, David Cobb, Muhammad.
Yep.
This kid's special in his own way with his ability, his patience, and his footwork, and his vision. I just thought he was great.
Nine catches, too, right?
Yeah. He has 43 catches, second most catches by a running back nationally. He's having a – I don't know if it's quiet because he hasn't had, that 250-yard game, a big standout game, but I just thought he was really, really, really good Saturday, and
I did too.
And I thought he was the best player on the field.
Just briefly on the fake punt, all of us, you probably leaving and have said, PJ, you got to open up a little bit. You got to be willing to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Don't be so conservative. Fourth and 12, and you can pin him at that point. In a low-scoring, kind of old-school Big Ten game with the punter who runs about as fast as the two of us, I was thinking, I think I'm being a hypocrite here, but what are you doing?
It's funny because PJ kicked the field goal from the 3-yard line and went for a fake punt on 4th and 12 from his own point.
Yes.
But, I understand giving the punter some opportunity if the punt team turns their back and starts retreating, but 4th and 12 in that situation, I would have said don't do it. That was just too. I would have pinned them the way your defense was playing great all game. I think I would just pinned it and not taking that risk. But at least he took the risk, right?
Yeah.
We've been clamoring for him to be aggressive, and that was certainly aggressive.
Yeah. Maybe a little more judicious. So let's finish with this.
That's right.
Yeah. Before you have to go. So I assume they're meeting right now. I know they started a couple hours ago. It's Alex Rodriguez, Mark Lurie on one side with their legal team and Glenn Taylor and his legal team. This is arbitration. This all goes back. I think people listening to this segment probably know when Glenn finally decided to sell the team to Alex and Mark, it was 3 installments. That was Glenn's idea because Glenn really didn't want to give up the team, and he also thought he could help him. And fair or not, I kept hearing it from my NBA sources, people wondering, do they really have the money? Do they really have the money? And they would push back. Rodriguez and Lurie said, we've got the money. But there were extensions. No doubt there were extensions. And when the last one they agreed to extension, Glenn looked at the legal reading and said, nah, you missed your window. The team is not for sale. They reacted adamantly and said, you're wrong. Yeah. We did everything right. And they since have added a lot of equity. Now, I think people are missing this on the Bloomberg part. I mean, obviously, Bloomberg's worth $110 billion, but he only has a small percentage of this team. Michael Bloomberg is brilliant. He's not going to say, I've got, 4% of the team, and I'm going to cover $500 million. You know when he'd do that? If he was given that percentage of the team. Okay, so you got well-respected people involved. I've tried to talk to a number of attorneys the last 6 months about it and then relied on smart people. I said the same thing to Johnny Kay last week. More often than not, I hear from attorneys saying they think Rodriguez and Lurie are in the right in this, unless Glenn is saying something, okay? both sides are extraordinarily confident. It's interesting. For sure, the Target Center folks, there are a lot of people that are convinced that Glenn in the end is going to get this. More of the lawyers are saying no. Rodriguez and Lori Wright. And then you get to the Board of Governors, because then the owners, if they wanted to, they could say, well, yeah, the arbitration process said one side, but we're going to say the other. The tough thing about that is if they've already approved Rodriguez and Lori, which they have, and now they've added even more money, now you're going to turn them down? So it's pretty delicious what's going on.
Yeah, and I can't imagine they would go through this whole complicated process and arbitration and lawyers, and then the Board of Governors say, nah, we're going to pivot and go back to Glenn. I have to imagine, though, if you've already okayed him and the finances and all that, I think they would approve it. So, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, this is for smarter legal people than me and you to know how to. But you would think that Glenn's lawyers are telling me he has a strong case, right?
Oh, they are. Trust me. I know that. So they are.
So I don't know how this will turn out, but I'm guessing both sides got the memo from the league that
no talking.
Let's do this. Right. Let's do this behind closed doors and not in the court of public opinion. So it'll be – but this is going to be drawn out, correct? This is not going to be a speedy process, right?
I think it's reasonable before this month is done, you could get it. And I'll say this. When I had Glenn on, I think it was like the next day, when I asked him at the end about money, that Glenn, hey, you sold it for 1.5, it's probably worth double. Is that part of the reason why? And he said, not for me, but I have to think of my minority owners. And then Rodriguez and Lori in other interviews cited that quote multiple times.
Yeah.
He can't back out of the deal because the asset is doubled. You know, that cannot be the reason why. And that's another interesting part for the league, because the league doesn't want to sell this team for 1.5. They don't want to set that precedent. But they also don't know, okay, Glenn, you're 83. Is it just Becky? Or what is your process? Because we know Lori and A-Rod and the whole team they have with Glenn. What is the follow-up if, God forbid, something happens to him?
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a plan in place for all contingencies. And so, I assume the A-Rod Lori camp are using that argument that, hey, just because the sale price change or
don't punish us.
Yeah, this is what we agreed to, right? And so I just think it's not a – something that hangs over the organization in terms of affects the players. They don't care.
Zero.
You know,
zero.
Has zero impact. But you do want to know who your ownership is and figure out, you know, how that's going to be for going forward. Because I think everything always starts. We were talking about this last night with the NFL. Everything always starts at the top with ownership and kind of the commitment and everything. So the sooner they get it figured out, the better.
Drive safe, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Thanks for adjusting for me, Chad. Appreciate it.
No worries at all. Chip Scoggins, working on football across Minnesota. He's fabulous at that, and he's fabulous with us. Michael Osterholm has not joined us in an extended period of time. We have COVID, we have flu shots, and we have Bobby Kennedy. Mike Osterholm in minutes on CCO.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.